Are you ready to learn? Because my super experienced guests are ready to share some really valuable information. Make sure and listen all the way to the end to get help and support. So let's start with the best audio experience.
Hello, good people. Welcome to our show. Bad people, welcome to our show. Anyone who wanna learn more about personal development, welcome. It's very important to know how you can improve your skills, to have positive mindset, many other things. And especially today, we are going to touch more about podcasts, how you can succeed with your podcast. I'm so excited to discuss this topic with Joe Pardavila. How are you?
Good, Anatoly. Thank you for having me on the podcast.
Yeah, big pleasure. Wanna learn more? I love this topic. It's very important. I spent some time to learn more about personal development. I love reading books, any materials that can help me to grow, to go ahead. Because it's not only about your job. You need to know how to go ahead, how to have this positive mindset. Joe, before we start, just tell more about yourself, experience, background, and anything that can help our listeners to learn more about you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm a lifelong... do you remember this thing called the radio, Anatoly? It's that thing in your car where it has like frequencies and you can listen to music
of
and
course,
talk
yeah.
shows. Yeah, because a lot of younger people aren't familiar with it. But for about 24 years, I had a career working on a morning radio show or breakfast show, as they say in Europe, working as a producer and co-host on a legacy New York City radio station called WPLJ. And the reason I ended up there was when I was in college, I knew I wanted to be in the world of entertainment, but my family of immigrants, my mother was a Cuban refugee. My father was a sailor from Spain. So I didn't have any contacts. I didn't know how to get into show business. So while I was in college, I started enjoying working on the college radio station. And for some reason I had the wherewithal where I was like in my sophomore year, my second year of college, I was like, maybe I should get an internship to see if I enjoy this radio, if this could be a career for me. And I signed up for an internship at a radio station. And the only reason, Anthony, the only reason I took this job at this radio station was because I was a scared kid from the suburbs of New Jersey. And going into Manhattan was really scary as a, you know, 17, 18-year-old kid. So the radio station was located in right above Madison Square Garden. So if you've ever been to New York City, it's the hub of New York City. Penn Station's there. So one train ride right into New York City from where I lived in New Jersey. So took the job and I ended up spending the next two decades there because I was so scared to go anywhere else because I found this internship. I flourished there. I worked my way up from being an intern who was driving around the van to being on the morning show. And that's sort of basically where I developed all of my skills. I ended up having to drop out of college because of my career, but my career just kind of just taught me everything I know about life, about being a broadcaster, about being a communicator. And I use all those skills today now as a podcaster and author.
Mm-hmm. Nice, nice. Awesome, awesome. And, you know, I often get the question, it's not only about me. I think that everyone can find the same questions online about AI, for example, if AI can replace a human being, especially writers. But, you know, you worked in radio, but you didn't lose your job. You adapted to digital. Right now you have podcasts. So I think it's the same with AI. You know, AI can change technologies, but people are the same. Human beings are the same. And everything what we need to do to adapt now to new technologies and think how to get benefits from that. So I'm glad that you share your story about radio experience.
Yeah, and I will say Anatoly too about these disruptors in life. AI is obviously the latest, but through the beginning of technology in terms of media, there was radio, and then television came around, and then everyone said, "Oh well, radio is going to die because of television." And they're like, "Nope." And then cable came around. Cable's going to kill broadcast television. Nope. Then all of a sudden, the internet came around. No one's going to watch TV. Nope. And so AI, I think, is another one of these disruptors that is not going to erase anything that's around. I think it's just going to improve it. I speak to a lot of people that don't like the phrasing of artificial intelligence. They prefer it as augmented intelligence because basically what it's doing is it's improving our intelligence with these tools. And to me, as a podcaster, AI has been invaluable in terms of how much time it could save you when it comes to research, descriptions, titles. It's such it's I don't know if you've ever written a movie, Anatoly, but filmmakers use a software called Final Draft. And it's mm-hmm. essentially how it helps you write a screenplay. It gives you prompts. It could easily do things. To me, I believe AI, sort of the ChatGPTs, the Claudes, the Bards of the world, they're first drafts. They will give you a first draft and then you make it your own. And I think for people to dismiss AI as just a fad or something that's going to take over the world, it's really just something more in the middle. Like anything, there's a lot of nuance in this world that we're all missing out on, Anatoly. And so the nuance of AI is going to have a huge impact going forward.
Yeah, nice, nice. Yeah, love it, love it. Yeah, what I usually see that experts are excited about AI. But yeah. But if someone has time to complain about AI, it's better to find time how you can improve your productivity, increase your results, than to complain. Because if you have time to complain, then AI will replace 100% your job. Okay, Joe, I wanna ask about podcast. For example, when I think about YouTube, I don't know why, but I can think about Mr. Beast. When I think about podcasts, I think about Joe Rogan, sure. And I usually have clients who use podcasts for the sake of growing their businesses, not like Joe Rogan, because Joe Rogan can get I don't remember exactly now the number, like $100 million dollars for this contract
from Spotify.
A lot of money. But if companies wanna grow their businesses to create brand awareness, to sell products, it's another goal. It's not like to get these huge contracts paid marketing. So can you tell what to do, how to start? Because a lot of companies still have no podcast, but they have the goal to start.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, and I'm glad you used the Joe Rogan example, because I feel this is the thing that gets missed out. You mentioned the fact that Joe Rogan signed a $100 million deal with Spotify like 2 years ago. And the one thing people neglect to mention when they say Joe Rogan, comedian, MMA commentator, signs $100 million deal is the fact that he did 1,000 episodes before he signed that deal with Spotify. 1,000. That's going on years and years of creating content. So when folks have their eyes on the prize, the holy grail of becoming full-time podcasters, making it their only stream of income, God bless you, but it will take time. I'm sure, Anatoly, you've heard the phrase before, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon, and that's what podcasting is. So, and I know we're going to get into the entrepreneurial side of things, but when people in general talk about growing a podcast, because that's, I'm sure you get this too, Anatoly, all the time, like, how do I get more listeners? How do I grow podcasts? I mean, step one is doing it, and doing it over an extended amount of time. That's excellent. If you're doing podcasts for a long time and it's crap, the sound quality is bad, the guests are a bore, you're not prepared for it, you're never going to grow. But if you work hard and have a professional perspective with a hobby, and that's one thing I like to say to folks who are just doing a podcast or something on the side as a side hustle, treat it as a hobby, but act like it's a profession. So if you treat it like it's your job, like, I know I've got to get a podcast recorded this week. So no matter what I do this week, I've got to get a guest. I've got to produce it. I've got to get it all ready. But then there's other people like, I'm going to do a podcast. I'm just not feeling up for doing a podcast this week. I'm just too busy. If that's the way you're handling a podcast, don't expect to become the next Joe Rogan or expect even to be a quarter of a Joe Rogan, because that's not how Joe Rogan got there. He did 1,000 podcasts, and he did 1,000 podcasts really well. Found a niche audience, and that niche audience exploded. Now, so for businesses, Anatoly, it's the same thing. If you're going to do it, act as if it is part of your job. You know, if your company makes widgets and you make widgets with passion and teamwork and all planning, that's how your podcast should be handled as well. The same exact way you handle your business, you handle your podcast with that same passion. Obviously, if you know, when you're starting a widget, it's not going to be perfect. So when you're starting a podcast, it's not going to be perfect. So you're going to grow and improve. So doing so as part of a company's initiative to get the word out for growth, it's an excellent tool. It's a great way to show leaders or people on your team their personalities, because The old adage, Anatoly, and you might have heard this one before, but one podcast equals 50 first dates. Like, the ability to have a conversation with someone uninterrupted for an hour is unheard of these days. You just don't have it anymore. So the ability to have these moments in time that you can have just these really deep and impactful conversations, these can work for anybody. And the fact that a company can use it as part of their branding, to build their branding, to build their team, to show people, hey, this is a really cool place to work. Look who's here. Look at the conversations we're having here. It pulls the curtain for many people. And I think that's a great way to connect with either customers, future employees, or a future investor, or what have you.
Nice. Yeah, love it. Joe, I want to ask about the balance between quality and quantity. You know, It's interesting. I remember a great advice from Mr. Beast, and he told you need to film 100 bad videos. If you film 100 bad videos, you can think more about quality. Because in marketing, we know it's better to create quality. But I have no idea how to do it in the first episode, even in the second, in the third. It takes time, you know, to get experience, to improve a little bit step by step. So can you tell about podcast? Is it a good idea to record 100 bad episodes? As I usually do, you know, in writing, in filming, everywhere. What do you think?
Yeah, Anatoly, I will say, I think the best thing, and this is the advice I give for anyone who's starting out, is think of your podcast in seasons. Because if you leave yourself open-ended, just be like, I'm going to do a podcast. Eventually, you're going to run out of time, life is going to get in the way, and your podcast will just fade away into oblivion. So I will say expectations are important, to make sure you set clear expectations for yourself. And when it comes to the quality-quantity thing, Anatoly, you just have to do it. And I think the more you do it, the better you get at it. And this, like you mentioned, if you do 100 podcasts, maybe you don't publish all 100, but hopefully by the time you get to number 40 or 50, you've probably got it down to a science or to a comfortable way of doing it. So the quantity quality argument is, don't get too hung up in the whole perfectionism of the whole thing. Because I think one of the great things about podcasting, and a lot of folks in this space really lean into the sort of organic authenticness of it. So sometimes it's going to be dirty and messy. So that's okay. When it comes to companies, obviously you probably want to be a more clean. You want to have more edits. You want to have it to be very professional. But when it comes to that argument, sometimes people get hung up on it. Oh man, if this isn't perfect, I'm not going to publish it. You can't really do that, because your perfection may not be equal to the audience's perfection. I mean, they may think like, oh boy, that sounds too phony or stilted. It's perfect, but it doesn't resonate. So I think quantity is important, because you need to build a catalog. You need to have episodes out there, because I'm sure you've run into this before. It's like, you'll find a podcast that you just randomly listen to. I'm like, oh, let me go back and listen to other podcasts. And then there's like only three other episodes. It's like, oh, all right, I guess this person's not really like a legit podcaster. They just did one podcast like every 3 months. So I think having a catalog of episodes gives you sort of like that digital business card of like, oh, cool, this guy's legit. This woman's legit. They've done 50 podcasts on X subject. Cool. I could go back, skim, if I'll pick and choose which ones to listen to. And I think that helps building your community that's going to listen to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice. I want to ask about retaining audience. I think it's very important for any type of content, writing, video content, and podcasts, because, for example, 80% of users bounce videos in the first 20 seconds. So yeah. Most videos are ignored. It's the same with reading books. Only 5% of all books people read. And website content have, I don't remember exactly data, plus 50% people bounce fast. It's important to give a strong reason to listen the entire episode, to hook their attention. So can you give these tips? What to do, how to start, and how to create this logical chain to retain until then?
So Anatoly, I will say, you use the word audience, and I always coach people to avoid using the word audience. Audience is a faceless monolith. It's a large group of people. They're faceless. You don't know who they are. I prefer to use, and I know this could be viewed as semantics of people, but I like to consider things in terms of a community, because a community gives you an identity. Who is this podcast for? Who's this social media for? Who's this YouTube channel for? Who is my A number one, either customer slash listener, consumer of this content? And then once you find out who that is, that hyper focuses you on what you're expected to deliver. Now, Joe Rogan, when he started, going back to him, was he was talking to comedians, and he was talking to MMA guys, and it grew into something bigger that became more of a mass appeal podcast where he has scientists and celebrities and actors. So if you think about it, starting it from that super niche level, my boss likes to say the riches are in the niches. Find that niche that your community is a part of. And then if there's demand for it outside of that community, it can grow into the word you use, an audience. But starting on hyper-focusing your content to one particular subset of people will help you grab them, because you'll know you're not trying to fish around. Like you mentioned, like, you know, some people tune out a video after 20 seconds. If you know your audience, I think, and again, this is all anecdotal, if you know your audience so well that whatever you're presenting to them will stick around longer than 20 seconds. I think that's the mindset you need to embrace. Just like, who's listening to this? Who's consuming this? And let me just hyper-focus it on that. And then I think having that sort of mindset will help you keep people engaged longer, because you're not fishing around for mass audiences. You're not trying to play on both sides of the fence. You're trying to just keep focused on one particular set of people that will be engaged in your content.
Yeah, nice. I remember a few similar advice about writing. You don't need to write for the crowd. You need to write for one person, you know,
yeah.
Because when this person can read, it creates the feeling that that was written for one person,
yeah.
Only for
And that one person thing, I want to jump on that, Anatoly. I always tell people, and this is something I learned from radio, and my radio station was listened to by 2-3 million people. When you're referring to anyone listening, you're referring to one. I see. Is everything okay?
Yeah. Okay. No worries.
I was like, wow, that was very impactful what I just said, that they're screaming what I'm saying. No, if you are communicating to one person, you should be thinking about one person. Because if someone is consuming your content, they're not consuming it around a campfire with 10 or 12 people. They're not having big groups of people listening to you or watching your videos. It's one person. So when you are doing a podcast, doing a YouTube show, speak to one person. It's not like, hey, everybody out there, everyone out there listening, everyone. No. Hey, for anyone listening right now, you're listening right now. Make it very personal, because that is how you connect with people. And I know this could be kind of like foo-foo and mystical and everything like that. I think it just makes you more of a personable communicator if you're just speaking to one person, as opposed to thinking about a mass group of people listening to something at one moment in time.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, most of my customers who think to start their podcast usually think how to grow their business. Can we give some tips for someone who can't share a lot of time with that? For example, I think you can share a lot of time. Joe Rogan can share. Many other podcasters, if it's the main business model. But if you have products, if you have other channels, but you want to extend to this specific channel, can you give tips what to do, how to be consistent, to have discipline recording podcasts, invite guests, or any other formats? So any tips for such people?
I used the TV model earlier, and I think this is a great thing for companies and for busy folks out there listening to this right now. If you know that there's no way in heaven's earth that you will be able to do 52 podcasts in a year, think about what number you think you can do. So maybe that number is 10. So you know that on September 1st, your first podcast is going to drop. And it's the middle of July. That means I've got 2 or 3 months to record a handful of podcasts. And I give myself enough time to record, research, get it all done, publish 10 podcasts. Then you take a break. Then you're like, oh, okay, that worked well. Then sort of reverse engineer it and see, like, how did I pull that off? How did it work? How much time did I need in between episodes? How long did it take to produce? How long did it take to edit? All of those parameters. And then when season 2 is ready to begin, I'm like, okay, cool. I know 2 months wasn't enough time for me to record all 10 episodes. So I'm going to give myself 3 months to record all 10 episodes. Season 2 drops. And then all of a sudden you have this whole break in time where you're dropping episodes. You're not doing anything else because you've allotted yourself enough grace and time to do your job, your main day job, but also have the ability to execute a really strong podcast or whatever it may be, Anatoly. This could be a YouTube show. This could be social media blog posts. If you give yourself structure to you know, fit something like this into your already busy schedule, I think that helps. And so starting with that number that you feel fits is a great way to start. So Anatoly, if you've got a client that the CEO wants to host a podcast, but the CEO is traveling 8 months a year, you know what? Find those 3 months a year where the CEO is in the building and you're going to record as many podcasts as you can. Once you're done, the CEO goes and travels to Dubai or Finland or wherever. And then all of a sudden you've got these podcasts dropping on the regular, but no one needs to know that these were recorded 3 months ago when the CEO was in the office. So thinking about the expectations of the time you will have to execute these is super important. And I think that will then give you an idea of like, oh, okay, cool. Maybe 10 episodes was too much for me to chew on. Maybe next season is going to be 7 episodes. So making that jump, doing it, and then figuring out how much time you need will be very helpful going forward to keeping the podcast alive.
Yeah, awesome. Love it. Joe, can you tell how to add call to action? You know, what I usually see, for example, I help to promote website content, and I often see when companies choose their own strategy. I mean, like they chase high volume. But mm-hmm. it doesn't mean that this volume can relate it to their audience. And once I spoke with a webmaster who lost 400,000 traffic. It's a lot of traffic. It's hard to get this traffic. But when he lost 400,000 traffic, he didn't lose any sales. So this traffic didn't sell his products. Mm. And I think if you start podcast for the sake of podcast, it doesn't work as well. But if you find the right topics and can submit call to action, you can sell your products. And I know some people who are very successful with that. Even one company, the CEO of this company told me that podcast is the second resource of getting new customers, you know. Mm. And this company can sell $1 million a month. So can you tell how to choose the right topics that are related to customers' journey and to submit call to action?
Yeah, this is a great topic to discuss because I produce dozens of podcasts on the daily, Anatoly. And one of the big parts of doing a podcast, as you know, is the guest booking process. And sometimes some of my clients will be like, hey, I want to talk to this person. And I'll use a random example. And someone will be like, hey, it'd be great if I was able to speak to Kim Kardashian about this said topic. And I would say to the person, all right, the Kardashians have hundreds of millions of followers on all different platforms. If you interview Kim Kardashian on your podcast, let's say about, I don't know, let's say blockchain. Kim Kardashian mm-hmm. comes on your blockchain podcast. She comes on, talks to you. If Kim Kardashian doesn't know anything about blockchain, how does that help you and someone listening to your audience? It may be cool that you had Kim Kardashian on and she may share that with her hundreds of millions of followers and maybe that episode gets a bump, but will any of those 100 million people come back for episode 2? So always think about the people that you have on your podcast that there is at least a tangential connection. You don't always, if you're doing a blockchain podcast, you don't have to have blockchain experts, but you have to have people on your podcast who either love blockchain or interested in blockchain know about it to have a conversation. So I think it's important when it comes to the topics that you're going to discuss or guests you're going to get on, make sure they're aligned with the values of what the podcast is all about. Because if you start going off into wild different directions, it's never going to work, because all of a sudden your base audience is going to be turned off because they'll be like, why is this guy talking to Kim Kardashian? And then the Kim Kardashian audience is going to be like, I'm not going to listen to a podcast about blockchain. So that's very important to make sure all of that is aligned. And sometimes you're sacrificing maybe, you know, that Kim K episode may get, you know, 50,000 downloads, but they're not coming back for more. You know, consistency is a big part of podcasting. I had this client once, Anatoly, was interviewing CEOs, and mostly it's like small businesses, like 50 to 100 employees, and his podcasts were getting a couple hundred downloads. And Anatoly, as you know, a couple hundred downloads in this day and age is pretty impressive. Like, to get a few hundred downloads, people be like, yes, sign me up for that. People don't realize that, but it really is. So one time I had worked with Verizon, one of the big telecom companies in the United States, and I invited one of their senior vice presidents to appear on this gentleman's podcast. Aligned in values, it was all about digital transformation. The podcast drops, and this gentleman's podcast went from 200 to 300 downloads to 5,000 downloads because this person from Verizon posted it on LinkedIn. And so, as you can imagine, a large telecom company, if you're connected on LinkedIn, you've got hundreds of thousands of employees who are going to see it on LinkedIn and listen to it. So my client says to me, oh, so does this mean that my podcast is growing? And I said, no, it means that this podcast got into the eyeballs or ear holes of people that were interested in hearing this guest on your podcast. So that's just something to keep in mind. You are going to see a lot of blips and peaks and valleys when it comes to your podcast, depending on the guest and if your guest shares it. When it comes to the marketing side of it, Anatoly, I will say I'm clear and transparent with everyone. I am not, this is not my bag. I am not a marketing person. I do not know. I do know things that help. A couple of things that help is be your own champion. I see this with a lot of podcasters where they, are you familiar with the movie Field of Dreams, Anatoly? If you build it, they will come. They think if you put out a podcast, people will automatically listen. And just by putting it out there, all the work is done. I did my work. The podcast out there, people can listen to whatever. No, you've got to be your own champion. So if you're not shouting from the rooftops through your social media channels, through email chains, through blogs that you have a podcast, no one's going to find out about it. So I think that's one thing that people really do need to embrace, that to promote your own stuff, it can be weird for some people. But I think that's the first thing you have to do. You have to embrace the podcast. No one is going to run out to find your podcast because there's hundreds of millions of podcasts out there. So you've got to tell them about it. So I think it's super important for folks to remember that you have to do the heavy lifting when it comes to spreading the word. Then eventually, you know, as you know, Anatoly, most podcasts are found through word of mouth. It's someone say, hey, did you check out this podcast? Or you see something on social media. So being your own champion, promoting your podcast, I think is super, super important. And just people don't do it enough. And then the old adage that I like to say is to find an audience, you steal an audience. Find people that have bigger networks than you. Find people who have larger social media followings than you. Again, that are aligned with your values of this podcast. Don't like my Kim Kardashian example. Don't have someone who has a large following just for the sake of large following. That's a great way to bring yourself. And then lastly, I will say pod swaps. I'm sure, Anatoly, you've been offered this before, but you offer someone to appear on your podcast if they allow you to appear on your podcast. So those are little things that I am aware of and I feel work. When it comes to the brass knuckles of the world of marketing, I do not pretend to be an expert on that. I know how to make the podcast, put them out, tell people about it. But outside of that, that is way outside of my purview, Anatoly.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, great tips. Love it, love it. And I want to touch more about AI. We started to chat a little bit in the beginning, but today AI is my regular tool. I use almost every single day. It helps me a lot. For example, we edit a lot with AI. We don't generate content, but if you feed AI with the right data, you can get great results. And we use like for writing press releases. After that, we got mentioned on CNN, Insider, many other great websites because of editing on ChatGPT. But what about podcasting? Can you tell how AI can help in podcast production?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that, you know, I mentioned about the guest booking process being one of the toughest things for most podcasters. But then once you've booked the guests, you've got to start doing research and coming up with questions. And I will tell you, AI has been a huge, huge, huge game changer in this. And not because, like you said, about generating content. I think it generates ideas. So a lot of the podcasts that I'm producing, Anatoly, are things that are way out of my purview. I mean, I've got a podcast about affordable housing. I've got a podcast on finance. I've got a podcast on STEM, podcast on education. I'm not an expert in any of these things. But having AI giving me ideas for questions are such a huge game changer in terms of time saved. Because I have to do it anyway, but I would venture to guess that AI, whether it's the ChatGPTs that you mentioned or Bard or Claude or Bing AI, all of them will help you save time in this process. And another great way to doing it too is sometimes, you know, those, the opens of the podcast, you did a great job with my open, by the way. I got to show my mom that she'll be really proud. She must think I'm really impressive. But those show opens, like putting it, throwing it, dumping in a guest bio and say, hey, write me an inspiring keynote speaker introduction, because I think sometimes the AI doesn't really know what an introduction is. So give them just like some prompts that could help. And all of a sudden, boom, you've got sort of a structure for an open, and then you go in and then you word it, put in language that you feel comfortable with in saying, because I think that's one mistake that a lot of people do now that is over the course of time has always happened. People feel like they can read and sound like they're not reading. The only way you can do that is if you're writing something in your own voice. So use AI to give you a structure, give you some ideas, then go in and write it in your own voice, because you will not only feel inauthentic to yourself, but you'll feel inauthentic to anyone listening. So yeah, those are some big ways that AI helps. Also with podcast descriptions, just dumping in a bunch of cues that say, you know, here's the kind of stuff we talked about in the podcast. And all of a sudden it spits out a pretty concise podcast description. And then again, you go in and you put it in your own voice, because the AI is as much as it's going to learn about you as a user, because obviously you sign in and it'll know a little more about you, it's never going to be able to write in your voice. And I think that's super important when it comes to anyone that's doing an audio medium and using AI. Don't forget that these AI tools will help you make your life a lot easier, but they're not going to be you. So make sure you don't lose yourself when you're using these tools, whether it comes to show opens, whether it comes to questions, whether it comes to your podcast description, those three main kind of buckets when it comes to a production of a podcast. They'll save you time, but they're not going to replace you. They're just going to give you the tools you'll need to succeed.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, about this mistake, it's always important to be yourself. Mm-hmm. Don't copy. By the way, you can copy Joe Rogan in the beginning if you like it. You know, that's okay. You can copy someone if you don't know a lot about that. But during the way, you can become yourself. You know, you can learn how to be yourself. And I remember one great champion, Ukrainian champion in boxing, Vasily Lomachenko. And he mentioned that he copied great boxers, a lot of great boxers. But when he got experience, acquired this experience, he started to be himself, you know, and many young boxers can copy him. That's okay. You can copy writers, you can copy podcasters, but it's only in the beginning.
Yeah. And I will say, you know, obviously the old phrase, you know, imitation is a sincerest form of flattery. And I always joke that there's no such thing as an original idea. Apple, one of the most valued companies on the planet, worth whatever, $1 trillion right now, they have never thought of an original idea in their life. If you think about it, they didn't make the first MP3 player, but they had the iPod. They didn't make the first smartphone, but they have the iPhone. They didn't come up with the first laptop, but they have the MacBook. They've taken these products that have existed before and they made it their own. And depending on the user, they've made it better. So it's a great point, Anatoly. Find someone that inspires you, that you feel like, oh, I'd love to sound like that person, or not even like sound, but like I'd love to do what he does or she does, and then I will make it my own. So I think, like I said, there's no such thing as original idea. Like if someone's listening right now but has an idea for a podcast and they're like, oh, I wonder if there's been a podcast about this, there's a good chance that there probably is. Or if there's a book or there's a blog or there's a social media, there probably is something like it. You know, obviously you could Google it and double check it. There's probably gonna be something similar to it, but don't worry about it because you have to make it your own. And that will be the differentiator at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Nice. You mentioned about this mistake. Can you list more mistakes? You know, for example, in my life, I made a lot of mistakes. I keep doing them. Some of them are terrible. I remember when I started one business project because of chasing money. I found a gap in market, and I felt that I can fill this gap to earn a lot of money. So we hired a big team, and I wasted resources for 3 years, 3 years without any results. Then I quit because I hated Monday. I love Friday, and God, I can't go ahead like this. It's not my project. I don't need it. And I'm happy today that I got this experience. Can you list mistakes that companies, new podcasters still do, and your tips how to find another way?
Yeah, I mean, I will say that we're all going to make mistakes. And one of the things that the skills that I was able to hone during my terrestrial radio days was being able to edit audio. And that's one thing that I bring to the table that I don't know, without blowing, you know, smoke off my own, but like I'm quite good at it. So I'm able to make stuff that didn't sound so good sound really good. One of the common comments that I get from any of my clients after we record a podcast and I'll edit, produce it, I'll add all the bells and whistles, they'll say to me, oh, I didn't think that was going to sound so good. And so I feel like if you are going to be a podcaster and you are not going to be able to branch out and farm out work of it, embrace editing. Editing is just a priceless tool and something that will make you sound so much better than you think you can even sound. I'm super anal about it, Anatoly. I will tell you that. Like, I will go above and beyond and sometimes work way harder than I should, but I just can't do it any other way. So that's the way I handle things when it comes to podcasting. So if you're listening to this and you want to start a podcast, embrace editing. Be good at it. It doesn't take much. I'm not very talented in terms of much in my life, but if you work hard enough on something, you will be able to edit and make yourself sound really, really good. And that really is, to me, a huge differentiator when it comes from podcast to podcast. I will be listening, and again, this is, could just be me. I could be listening to a podcast and there'll be like all these mistakes and crosstalks, and I'll be listening and it'll take me out of it because I'll just say something to myself like, why couldn't they just edit that? That was like just an easy splice. It wasn't nothing you had to do any multi-track editing or mixing. It's like an easy like 2-point cut and you're done. And so if you're a new podcast, to have a flawless sounding audio experience for anyone listening, that is going to go miles and miles in terms of your influence and impact. Because people are like, oh shoot, this podcast sounds legit. There's no like dogs barking in the background. There's no kids crying. This is like a legit podcast. This is not somebody in their basement just hanging out doing a podcast for the shits and giggles of it. They're doing a legit podcast. So I will say, in terms of mistakes with podcasting, that's one that I see a lot of nowadays. Like, people just don't feel like it's important. And if you are trying to, especially this is a great example for companies, Anatoly. If you're a brand or business that's doing a podcast, man, you best better get yourself a good podcast editor or pay for one, because you do not want to put something out there that is going to lessen the value externally of your company. Like, you don't want, it's as if like you put a magazine ad out there and you have typos all through. Like, you wouldn't do that. That's the way I consider like not editing a podcast. It's just like leaving typos in an ad. Like, 99 out of 100 people, if they saw an ad with typos, they'd be like, oh my God, that's terrible. How did they miss that? And to me, I'm the same when it comes to podcasts. I'm like, how'd they miss those edits? So super important. Another tip is make sure that you do your research and know what you're talking about before you hit record. This is one of the things, you know, in my book, I talk about this motto that I learned in radio called preparation, moderation, and concentration. You have to be so prepared to do that conversation that you don't even need to look at your notes. Like, the notes are almost sort of like a mental warm-up that you need, that sort of like go to the recesses of your brain that you're like, okay, cool, I'll ask that question. Ask that one. I mean, having it in front of you is fine, but the idea that you put the work behind it sort of seeps into you. And then all of a sudden you have questions and things you want to talk about without having to constantly look at notes, because you're so prepared and ready for that. The second part of it is concentration. When you're doing a podcast, when you're doing something that's either live or recorded, you're doing nothing else. Your phones are off. Your all your applications on your computer are turned off. There's nothing that's going to distract you from doing what you're doing. And the last part of it is moderation, especially when it comes to podcasts. It's a long talk. You don't have 5 minutes or 10 minutes to have a conversation. You've got sometimes upwards of an hour, and depending on the podcast, more. So don't feel like you need to ask all the hard questions or get into such really heavy duty topics at the top when you have another 45 minutes to discuss. So take the time, really relish the moments that you have with another individual or two during a podcast, and don't feel like you need to rush to get everything out. Some people will be like, oh man, I really got to ask this one question, so I'm going to ask it at the beginning. And then all of a sudden, the person as a guest is like on their back foot, because they're like, oh wow, you didn't even say hello and you're already asking me a tough question. So warming people up, taking that moderation to the next level, and just making sure that everyone feels comfortable, you're taking your time, you're enjoying it, the guest is enjoying it, your listener is enjoying it, are key facets to executing a really good podcast.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I felt you can share one, two mistakes, but you share a big list, you know, and even, yeah, I'm going to change something in my methods. Yeah, so I remember you mentioned about preparation. I remember this awesome book, Dale Carnegie, How to Find Friends.
Influence People? Yeah.
And he shared a lot of examples about Lincoln. Lincoln prepared all his thoughts, all his speeches, a few times for a long time. So even Lincoln, with his experience, always prepared. And for example, I prepare a list of questions. I can ask different questions because I'm trying to satisfy my audience, to have this logical structure. If I have no logical structure, people can leave my podcast. Yeah. That's okay. I can retain anyone, but if I can do to retain them with the right logical structure, I usually do it. But I have questions that I prepare before, and I can ask other questions because of preparation. So,
preparation. And one thing about preparation too, Anatoly, just to share something, because you mentioned writing questions. So this is something I'm very passionate about. When you're writing questions for a podcast, and I don't know if you do this, Anatoly, make sure they're short. I've run into people that like will prepare questions, and it's like a 4-sentence question that could be said in like 3 or 4 words. And the reason you want to avoid doing that is it really gives you no room to ad lib or add to, because you may take that 4-sentence questions and then start to recall something later in the conversation or something. And then all of a sudden it becomes this jumbled mess. And Anatoly, you've probably seen this before, or heard this on a podcast before, where the person's done asking this really long question that went into all different areas, and it was like 8 or 9 sentences long. And then all of a sudden the person's like, can you repeat the question? I don't know what the question was. So making sure questions are short and open-ended are a key to writing them. I'm telling you, short, sweet, and also never number questions, because a conversation doesn't go in chronological order. And when you number things in front of you, your brain feels like it needs to, because sometimes the answer to question one will not lead to question two. It may lead to question number 7. And because we're looking at things in a numerical order, and this is something I feel like, if you see numbers, you have to go in order, and then all of a sudden your brain is all jumbled. So bullet points, using it and laying it out in a way that's easy to read, so you don't feel like you're fishing for something, makes it super important. I'm a big fan of Arial 14 point for everything I do. It's easy to find, easy to bullet, and it just is just an easy way to just look down real quick, find that information, ask a question.
Nice. And Joe, I have my final question about your experience. What I found My company usually gets great results with clients who understand what we do. For example, if we help with SEO services, my clients need to understand how it works, why we need to create high quality content, why it's more important to get traffic value than more traffic. You know, many different insights. If they don't understand, we usually tell them, take our course, learn from Lily Ray, Jeff Coyle, Mike Phillips, Chelsea Alves. Go to YouTube, go to Google, listen to audio podcast, find your live format. Just learn, get the basic. Then we can go ahead, like a cohesive team. I'm interested about your experience. Let's imagine you started from scratch without any experience, knowledge, skills, forget about your radio background, anything. It's your first day. What will you do today if you started completely from scratch?
If I start from scratch, is find a mentor. I think it is such an underrated way of life. And, you know, corporate cultures have embraced mentorship. And I think it's super important. If I was starting out now, I would find someone, maybe it's not a Joe Rogan level podcaster, but reach out to someone who you're a fan of, because it, again, being authentic, if you reach out to someone who you don't know and never listen to their podcast, first of all, you're not going to learn from them. And that other person isn't going to feel appreciated because, like, oh, you never even listen to me, but you want my mentorship. So find someone, whether it's in podcasting or whatever you're interested in, and find someone who could be a mentor to you, to give you that advice, to help you along the way, but also make sure it's a two-way street. Mentors, even though they have succeeded and have a lot, make sure you have something to offer. I know of when I speak to mentors a lot, they love the energy that a mentee brings and just the appreciation, and it makes them feel good to pay it forward. So if you can show appreciation, be kind to mentors, they will give you so much more back in tenfold. So I think that would be my first step, Anatoly, just find a mentor. You know, obviously after I've done some research, I've listened to podcasts, I know what I want to do in certain respects. Find someone who can help you navigate the perilous world of podcasting, because I think they're the people that have sort of blazed the trail. They know all the mistakes that have been made, a lot of the stuff we discussed today, Anatoly. So I think it's super important to find someone who could be that, your sounding board, to be someone who can answer questions, be someone who's experienced the things you're about to experience. That stuff is priceless.
Nice. Awesome. John, tell our audience the best way how to keep learning from you, how to reach out to you, how to follow you. If someone needs a mentor like you, how to do it.
Yeah, absolutely, Anatoly. So I've got a book out called Good Listen that's available on all digital retailers. It's on ebook, paperback, and audiobook if you stand to listen to my voice for a few hours more than this. I'm on most social medias, but most active on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram at Joe Partavilla. If you Google Joe Partavilla, I'm pretty Googleable, if that's an actual word. And feel free to reach out and ask me any questions. I'm happy to help anybody who wants to know more about podcasting. I like to say I'm not an expert, but I do know a bunch, and I've done it long enough that I could probably help a person or two out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, awesome. Awesome. Guys, you can find the link in the description below to LinkedIn account, to social media accounts, to website, to the book. And can you tell why Jennifer Aniston is doing in your post about the book?
Yeah. So one of the stories in the book, I talk about having a fearless attitude when having conversations. So years ago, when I was a young intern at WPLJ, we got a phone call from a listener that said, "Hey, Jennifer Aniston is filming a movie across the street from you. You guys could go down there and interview her." And so I was this young kid. I was probably like 20 years old at the time. And my boss said, "Hey, go down and interview Jennifer Aniston." Now, this, mind you, this is around during peak Friends hysteria. Like, they were on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine. They were all heartthrobs. And I was like, yeah, sure, Jennifer Aniston's going to talk to me. So I go down, and it's early morning, Midtown Manhattan. It still hadn't gotten too crazy busy at the time. And it's we're on 33rd Street between 7th and 8th Avenue. Not a soul around but this one trailer and a large bodyguard just milling about. So I'm like, oh, wow, no paparazzi around. There's no people like milling around looking for Jennifer Aniston. I'm like, great, I got my shot. So I go walk over to the trailer, and the very large security guard says to me, "Where do you think you're going?" I said, "Oh, I'm from WPLJ. I want to ask Jennifer Aniston a few questions." And he's like, "No, you're not." I'm like, and then I will tell you, Anatoly, I don't know if I've done it during this podcast, but when I get nervous, my voice goes up many octaves. So I'm like, oh no, it's okay. I'm from WPLJ. It's gonna be great. And, you know, we answer a couple questions. And they're like, no, no, you're not. So I'm like, well, I'll go walk away. Call up to the radio station and I say, hey, listen, this isn't gonna work. I don't think Jennifer Aniston is gonna talk to me. They're like, no. Give it another try. Give it a try. I'm like, all right. So the bodyguard walks away, and then I start, I'm gonna go back over there. And he goes, where do you think you're going? And I said, I'm just gonna go talk to Jennifer Aniston from WPLJ. It's like, no, you're not. And then all of a sudden, Jennifer Aniston opens the door to her trailer and pokes her head out. And she goes, excuse me, is there a problem out there? And I go, and then again, at this point now, I'm starstruck and scared shitless. I'm like, hi, Jennifer, I'm from WPLJ. I want to see if I can interview you real quick. Do you have time? And she's like, oh, I'm sorry. I have to be on the set in an hour. I'm just getting ready. I can't do it right now. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, thank you very much. And I left there before the bodyguard could induce any kind of bodily harm to me. And so I go back up to the radio station and tell the guys, listen, I couldn't get Jennifer Aniston. And then the phone rings. It's our receptionist, the person who answers the phones. And she says, hey, we got a call from Jennifer Aniston's assistant. And Jennifer wants to call in and apologize for what happened to your reporter. Would you like us to patch the call through? And we're like, yeah, go ahead and patch the call from Jennifer Aniston through. So Jennifer gets on the air with our host and myself. And we have like a 30-minute discussion talking about her career, talking about her dad, her time on Friends. And so I use that lesson in the book, not just for the sake of name dropping, but to remind folks that sometimes when you're having conversations and you're communicating with others, you need some level of fearlessness to go places that most people may not feel comfortable going. And obviously going at it from a place of kindness and goodwill that people on the other end of the question don't feel endangered or don't feel safe, for lack of a better word. So that was my funny little Jennifer Aniston story, and it ended up going viral because people thought it was such a cute story. But one of my lessons from that are in the book that I learned from Jennifer Aniston.
Nice. I'm going to read this book. You gave me a solid reason because I have a huge list of books that I need to read. I have no time to read all.
Oh, it's a quick books. Read, Anatoly. You can read it on the toilet. It's only like 180 pages. I'm sure you could bang it out in a weekend.
Okay, nice. I will. Joe, it's a big pleasure. Again, thank you. Thank you so much. Great episode. Guys, you can find all links to Joe. Follow him. Listen to his podcast because you can see a lot of valuable insights. Okay, love you. See you.
Thanks for listening to this entire podcast. Please rank your experience in Apple, Spotify, Google, or any other platforms that you may use. Also, please share your ranking mark on chat at seotools.tv to get a special gift. We'll see you soon on other valuable audio podcasts.